There's a really great story I think of every time we read this gospel passage that I heard from Michael Curry, the former presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. As Curry tells it, he was a young priest, just fresh out of seminary and newly ordained, and he was sent by his bishop to a small parish, St. Swithin's by the gas pump, let's say, in North Carolina. And Curry was charged, get things done and really make his mark. At the end of his first Sunday service, a man we'll call Dan Billings came up to young Curry in the receiving line. Curry put out his hand to introduce himself and said, "I'm Michael, the new pastor here." Dan put out his hand and said, "Dan Billings, I'm in the B group." Young Pastor Michael didn't know what this meant. This is pre-Southwest flying into Raleigh-Durham, I guess. But Dan elaborated, "I'm in the B group. I've been here before you. I'm a B here after you leave." The years pass, young Michael Curry ages, and of course, we know what happens. He moves on from the small parish and is eventually elected bishop of the Diocese of North Carolina, where St. Swithin's is located. And at his consecration to the episcopate and the receiving line afterwards, the man we're calling Dan comes up, shakes his hand, and says, "Dan Billings, St. Swithin's by the gas pump, still in the B group." Now, I want to say, if you're hearing this story and thinking that the brilliant and erudite Michael Curry is the hero, that's because I'm not the brilliant and erudite Right Reverend Curry. His point in the story was not self-aggrandizement. It's actually the opposite. The way he tells it, it's clear that it wasn't the newly ordained Curry who was the main character of this story, even though he thought he was. It was really Dan and the whole of the B group who were the real heroes. The ones actually doing the good work at St. Swithin's year in and year out, when times are favorable and when they were not. I tell you this, of course, in part because many of you found out you're in the B group at Emmanuel this week, but mostly, importantly, because our gospel passage today tells us that blessed are the B group. Blessed are those who stay the course. Blessed are those who pray and do not lose heart. Blessed are those who keep on keeping on. Blessed are they. Eventually. This parable, we are told by Jesus, is about the need to pray without losing heart, a sort of nevertheless she persisted moment for the Galilean crowd. I think it's important to point out that this is not a story, an allegory about God. Jesus actually makes it quite clear we are not to equate the judge with God. God is not an unjust judge, and God is also not a vending machine where you just push the right button to get what you want. Truth is, we're probably not supposed to equate the widow with God either, although I have preached that sermon and I quite like it. The truth is, this is a parable that Jesus tells to his disciples. The text is very clear about that. He's in the middle of telling parables, kind of going back and forth between the disciples and the crowds, but this one is for the disciples. It's for and it's about them, which means it is for and about us. Jesus tells his followers this parable because he knows that he will leave them eventually. Luke's gospel is the one with the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You remember that one, right? It takes place in that long pregnant gap between when everyone knows that Jesus has died, but not everyone realizes yet that he has risen. Jesus walks along those disciples on that road, and eventually he reveals himself. But not before we hear them utter one of the saddest sentences in the English language. "We had hoped." When Jesus dies, the disciples feel as if the gates of heaven shut behind him and leave them out. They feel as if they are left at the mercy of an unjust and unfair system. And so Jesus tells them this story because he wants, more than anything, for them not to lose heart. This parable is also one way Jesus illustrates what he says in the chapter right before this one, when he says the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Like Jeremiah before him, Jesus tells us of a time when the word of God will not be something we have to read and learn about, let alone preach about or hear sermons about, but will be something that is written on our hearts. Something that we know intuitively and intimately. And the truth is, the way that we come to know things like that most often is through rote repetition, even when it seems hard, even when it seems hopeless. So remember, Jesus says, remember that the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God might look something like a widow, someone who appears to have nothing, No social standing, no power, no one looking out for her, no money. It might look like crying out for justice again and again and again. Because eventually it turns out that far from nothing, this widow has quite a lot. We might say in modern parlance that she has something like gumption. But in Jesus' words, she has her faith. She has her persistence. In her heart, she knows what is right. And she will be there wherever and whenever that wicked judge shows up. And eventually, that changes everything. The lesson for disciples, which is to say the lessons for us, is that having this faith, staying the course, being in the B group with Dan Billings and a legacy of saints like him, it may often feel like nothing, but it does change everything, eventually. So when the storms of life blow, when times are transition, when there are wars and rumors of war, often the temptation is to manage and plan and work ahead and do, do, do. But so often the call at that time is simply to be faithful to the prayer practices that have sustained you and have sustained the faithful of all generations throughout time and space. Often the call is simply to be prayerful and stay faithful, to trust, to hope that God is again working in and throughout history and in this time and in this place. Again, that often feels like nothing, but eventually changes everything. So again, blessed are you who are persistent. Blessed are you who find yourself in the B group with so many saints of ages past. Blessed are you when you are faithful, no matter whether the times are favorable or unfavorable. Because the deeper truth beyond all truths is that God remains faithful to us and to the end and even beyond. Amen.